going on? This is Doki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting special edition of Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Keith Rantz from At Bull Scripted. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Another Bulls win.
Yeah, just witnessed the greatness of the beloved Bull and another victory over one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Miami Heat, who had won seven in a row. And they fell to the giant red buzzsaw known as the Chicago Bulls. What say you about the game, first of all? What do you think of another great Bulls performance and another victory?
Well, for once, I was actually more optimistic than you. Out of the four games that I thought the Bulls would win this month, I picked the Knicks, the Heat, the Lakers, and the Hawks. You told me, really? You think the Heat? Yeah. We got the game against the Heat. Obviously, we pulled it out against the Pistons, too. I didn't see that one. But Golden State's next. So we'll be back on the, here's reality. Still can't touch them.
You still can't what? I'm sorry, what did you say?
We're still not going to be able to touch them. On Wednesday, we'll get a nice little shot of reality. Whether LaVine is still on a 20-minute restriction or not should be interesting.
Yeah, this is getting to the point now where we're starting to win so much. I mean, I just saw a stat. If we continue at the pace that we've been at outside of the 3-20 start, we're going to win we'll be 41-41. So, I mean, at this point, are you starting to change your opinion of, hey, no, I feel like we should make these trades? And, you know, let's be honest, it's going to require us to trade Holiday, Lopez, and Nico, I think, to at least start. I think that would do it, you know, at least put us back in a downward direction. But, you know, big picture, are you changing your mind due to these wins racking up?
No. At the end of the day, I think they still need to finish the job. Getting extra first-round picks in this draft is still going to be more beneficial for us for the future. I think ultimately you have to. I think Nico's gone no matter what. It'll matter on what offers they receive for Rolo and Holiday. Because I do know the front office loves the character of both of them. You know, they'd love to keep them on the team, but the reality is, we are six games out of the playoffs, and we're only three games out of a top three pick still. So we're still closer to what the season's initial plan was than we were the playoffs. Now, if we make the trades and they have, you know, done everything within their power, within reason, without giving players away for nothing, to put this team in position to draft better, and we continue to exceed and win, and we have extra draft picks, at least we got the extra picks now, too. So I still think that's the route that you should go. Still have to plan for the future. I don't think you have to, give players away. That's never been the plan. Playing our players into value, which they now have and could bring back for us, is still something to capitalize on.
Yeah, it's still in question, though, whether – I'm not sure it's as black and white as – We have players that have played their way into draft picks, and I saw Doug Tonis mention this. He doesn't think he can get a number one for Lopez. I'm not sure I want to give Lopez away for a second rounder. Would you make that trade if two second rounders for Lopez?
No, like I said, the whole thing with me is extra firsts. If it involved us trading our New Orleans second that we have with Rolo in Holiday or in Nwaba. I know a lot of people don't want to get rid of Nwaba. I love Nwaba as well, but reality is he is an expiring contract. He will have to be repaid. He is a restricted free agent, but if people start giving him offers of over $5 million per year, are we going to match there? Are there not better options like Jerry and Grant's brother, Jeremy, who's an unrestricted free agent and is more of the definition of a small forward, power forward.
I don't know. There's like nine teams with cap space. I don't think the restricted free agent market is going to be all that great. I really don't. Go ahead.
the market for somebody like Nwaba will be, because he's not a super high end. He's probably not going to reach 15 million. But a team that's got, you know, only 10 to spend and maybe two spots to fill, that's going to be their main target.
What would you pay for him?
Right now I'm thinking probably around 5 a year, maybe 3 years, $5 million apiece.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'd feel his value is. And if it starts getting higher than that, like I said, there's options like Jeremy Grant in this free agency. That's more of a small forward, 3-and-D potential, can also play the four. That if you can get him for the same price, you might want to go that route anyway.
Yeah. It's an interesting call now. I mean, because at this point, like I said, they just keep on winning. They look so good. What's your take? I haven't talked to you since LaVine came back. What's your take on Zach?
Tonight, defense didn't look as bad. His on-ball has looked solid both nights. It was the game against Detroit. I think he got back cut 4 or 5 times. And that could just be not being in the scheme of the defense, getting the rust off, getting back into the flow of things. So there's a lot of things that could have been. Obviously, we knew coming in those were his weaknesses. But I think all of Chicago is seeing that Zach LaVine is not just a slam dunk champion. I think they're realizing this guy can put the ball in the hole from just about any spot on the floor.
Yeah, he is. I'm curious with only 9 teams with cap space. Like, look, we'll find those 9 teams. Who's going to give him a max deal? I don't see.
Oh, no. And the thing is, since Zach is restricted, you know, we can hold him off till the very end. He will be the last person that we give a contract to. And obviously, mm-hmm. Then we'll know what offers are out there. And in a way that could also be risky to do it that way, waiting and seeing if he gets a max to match instead of trying to, you know, find a middle ground with him early before anybody else can give him an offer. Who knows how the rest of his season plays out may very well determine how he wants to go about signing the contract.
Hmm. What do you think of the Heat after watching them today? You know, they're number 4 seed in the East. They've been playing extremely well, but I still look at that team and I'm like, gosh, they're the 4 seed in the East. Like, are they better than the Bulls? I don't think so. I'd rather have our roster.
No, I mean, that's the problem with the East. And kind of the trap that we're going to fall into again if we fall too far back in the lottery. I mean, there's great prospects from 8 to 15, 8 to 20. Obviously, getting one of those, you know, 14 to 20 picks with a top 5 pick would be fantastic. But no, the East is not outside of, you know, Toronto, Washington, Cleveland if LeBron stays there, and the Celtics. The East is wide open, and that's what's so scary about. We probably can make the playoffs. A 41-41 record probably could get us in again, but what happens if we're on the opposite side of the Heat and we're in their position and they're in our position that we were in last year?
Yeah, amen, amen. So as far as Dunn, I had this question. I'd like to get your opinion on it. You know, as we go forward with these three, and you get in these critical moments, and I think it's kind of interesting how we're going to divvy up big shots. Who do you kind of foresee being the lead dog down the end of the games, down in the end of close games as far as taking the big shots? Is it Markkanen, Dunn, or LaVine?
Oh, I think that's obviously LaVine. He's going to be the one that's getting the big paycheck in order to do that at the end of the day. I don't think... as good as Lowry is, and as much as I think Lowry has the clutch gene and he could very well do the job just as good as Zach, you know, Zach's getting the big payday. Lowry's going to be the second-year player and is a great second option. Like we've talked about, Dunn has been kind of playing out of his comfort zone because of the way that the roster was set up with so much just unknowns nightly. He has been forced a lot of nights to be the lead scorer. And that's where the inconsistencies come in, and we don't want that. Having LaVine back is perfect. He's going to make Dunn better. He's going to make Lowry better. But I definitely think LaVine is the guy at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, Lowry's been shooting some of these big shots at the end of the game. Another huge three today. He had a huge one the other night to basically seal the game in the win against Detroit. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I think it's going to maybe they'll alternate kind of Dunn and Levine going one-on-one depending on who has that easier matchup. But I really loved today how Dunn immediately threw it over to Markkanen for a wide-open three, which he canned. That's what I love about Dunn. He's unselfish and he's willing to pass the ball. And, you know, if I said that if that was Grant on the floor, he would have just fired up a brick because the shot clock was running down. He's got much better vision and much better idea of the word of shot clock.
Oh, and on the break, too, when we saw Zach leak out, that's a pass that Grant never would have made. And Dunn always looks to pass the ball ahead after getting a rebound.
Is there anybody between 5 and 15 in the draft? Let's say we end up in or 10 and 15 that you think is going to fall to that position that you could say, all right, now here's a guy that I think we could get that would really look good with what this team is like currently constituted with these core three. I may have asked this before, but, you know, now we've had a couple weeks of college basketball and there's been a lot going on. Is there anybody else that you've kind of seen? And there's a name I keep on hearing about, not Miles Bridges, but Mikal Bridges out of Villanova. Have you any familiarity with that kid?
Yes. He is more of, he's probably the most NBA-ready prospect out of the three. I believe he's a junior. He's about to be 22. So he's definitely the more refined, ready-to-go 3-and-D option. He's very athletic. Ideally, we'd like to get whatever one of those three is available as a 3-and-D prospect out of Knox, Michael Bridges, and Miles Bridges. Knox is probably the biggest project, but might have the most upside. He's the youngest. He's one of the youngest draft prospects in this class. 6'9", very athletic from Kentucky. Kind of reminds you of like a Aldi brand Greek freak. And his potential is similar in a way, not quite as big, but similar prototype of a player. Obviously, we've talked about Miles before. He kind of reminds me of a small forward Taj Gibson, and his character is through the roof. He's definitely the kind of guy that you'd love to have on your team, just a hard worker. So I don't think we could go wrong with either of those three at that point, and that is, I guess, the good thing about our situation is if we do make the right trades and we can get extra firsts and the offers are there and we can move towards the top end of the draft, we get a better prospect. And then we have the possibility of maybe trading up and grabbing one of the guys that we just talked about. If we do too good and we make the playoffs as an eighth seed, we could still end up getting one of the guys that I just talked about. And there's even more prospects littered in there from Jaren Jackson Jr., also at Michigan State, plays power forward in college, but
yeah, he'll be a top 10.
225, yeah. 6'11", 7'4 wingspan. Definitely somebody else to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, to me, this is a win-win. If the team is good enough, you know, and I see so many people on Twitter bringing in the comparison to last year's Heat team. It's a completely dumb comparison because that Heat team was filled with, you know, older players, number one, a lot of guys who were, you know, James Johnson, players like that who were kind of leading the team that you knew really their future was already capped out, pretty much. This is a completely different team. Young players, the core three that you have to believe are going to get better, so maybe even significantly better. So, you know, to compare us to the Heat of last year, I think is stupid. You know, their youngest player that, you know, had any talent was Whiteside, and he's been a bust this season. You probably can't even trade him now. So that comparison is just dumb.
I don't know if people are so much comparing the teams to each other. It's just how much it would suck to be in that position to have the same record as the team that's going in as the eighth seed, but because they beat you in your, you know, series during the season, that they're going to the playoffs and not you, and now you're drafting 14th and you're not going to the playoffs, which is the whole reason we kind of fell into this trap of where we are. I mean, the future is great, the potential is awesome. I still think they need to finish the job. Obviously, like you said, it's win-win. What happens, happens. We really can't lose at this point. We do have a great core, but being able to add one really high-end piece and one to two later on in the draft would be so much more beneficial than just one in the middle, which will still be a great prospect, like I said. But
winning,
if the trades are made, as I've been calling them, the training wheels, and Rolo, Nico, and Holiday are traded, and we still win, that's all the positive in the world. But you got to recycle the short-term assets. You got to think about the future. You got to sell while you can.
Would you give up Nico for a second-round pick?
No.
Okay. So it's got to be a first for both of those guys, right? Even Holiday?
Holiday is kind of like the throw-in onto Rolo that I think might be able to get Rolo's value up to a first because their contracts together are really team-friendly.
I don't know. I think Holiday, he's played so well lately that, and if I'm a team and you look at it, he signed for another year, correct me if I'm wrong, at like $4 million. He's got such a good deal, and he's played at such a high level lately. I mean, to me, he's significantly outplaying the value of his contract.
And, oh, no, he's been doing that since preseason.
Yeah, and he's exactly the kind of guy a contender would want, a guy who can play anywhere really from the two, three, and who's really versatile, can hit the threes. He's hitting the three at a really nice level this year. I'd almost say that he could probably bring as much as Nico or Lopez.
Well, a team that could be interesting for that would be his brother's team, the Pelicans in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They need shooting. I've also thought about sending Nico there because Solomon Hill is out for the year and their contracts match up. Mm-hmm. So if you swap them out with Holiday, but see, that's the other thing, is I keep trying to save Holiday to throw on top of Rolo to make sure we can get a first back from him, because I think Nico's at a point where either his contract itself, for the fact that teams can use it to dump cap, or even just his upgrade ability for their power forward position off the bench, is worth a mid to late first as is. So I keep trying to keep Nico by himself and keep Rolo and Holiday, or even Nwaba, to throw in to make sure that we can get a first for Rolo.
Yeah. What do you think about this statement? I made the case that, let's say Nico is still here, and hey, good news, everybody. Atlanta beat San Antonio today. So, you know, the worst team. I love to see those teams at the bottom keep on racking up the wins. And I even Charlotte won in Detroit. But as an aside, I said, let's say Nico and Portis stay here. I think the Bulls have the best bench in the NBA. When you have Nico, Portis, Valentine, Nwaba, those four guys coming off your bench, who's got a better bench than that?
I mean, what do you think? Outside of teams like Cleveland, when they actually put it together and they got their rotations right, it really doesn't get that much deeper than what we have. They are fairly young. But no, definitely at the 4-5, there is not a better 1-2 combo off the bench. And it is amazing. I said it against the Pistons, joking around, you know, this might be the last night the best 4 and 5 in the league off the bench play together. Obviously, here we are, they played again tonight, but no, it is remarkable and insane to have gone from, I can't play with this guy, it's him or me, and now they're the best 4-5 combo off the bench in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I keep on saying, if they're out with the team all year, both those guys, you got an argument to make that they both receive 6 Man of the Year votes. And wouldn't that be something if Nico won 6 Man of the Year and Portis was second? I'm sure if we, you know, rack our brains, we'll find somebody who deserves it more. But
I don't know. Somebody might end up getting hit again fighting over that trophy. That might have been the problem to begin with.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. The upcoming week, so let's go over a little bit of what we got going on for this week. Now that we just finished with the Heat, we got Golden State coming into town this Wednesday. Likely, you know, that's going to be fun to watch, but again, a likely loss, the 35-9 Golden State Warriors. But it is, to me, like a good bar to see how far this team has come, because I think it was the low point of the year was that embarrassing loss in Golden State, how bad they looked. I think that was the worst game of the year. And I don't know if you feel the same way. Are you kind of judging their performance on Wednesday to see how much we've improved?
I mean, it'll be a nice mini test at the end of the day. Playing Golden State in the regular season isn't playing Golden State in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, you know, hold the bar all the way up there. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is a nice feeler to see, like I said, for all we know. As good as Zach's looked, I can't imagine they're going to be able to keep him on this restriction for too long. Mm-hmm. They're probably trying to keep him on it to see if they can get some trades and, you know, get things to where it's more 50-50 and it's not guaranteed to win almost every night. We've been favored the last two games. That's not supposed to happen. That wasn't supposed to happen all year, and it's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, too, like, I think what's going to happen, though, over the next week, because the schedule, I think, is pretty easy overall, besides the Golden State game. All the next couple games are winnable, in my opinion. The Pelicans is probably the hardest team that they'll have there. One thing I did notice after watching, I was watching Portland versus Minnesota, how bad the league is overall. Like, Portland was number five. The Heat, number six. They were a playoff team in the West, and they look so bad. They're really a two-man team. Everybody else in that team is average at best. And the league really isn't that strong outside of, you know, five teams you can count on one hand.
But that's what happens when a team like Golden State has arguably, you know, three of the top 10 players in the league on their team. It does get very watered down, and then the teams that are contending with them also have to be, you know, nearly as stacked as Golden State to have a chance. So then that's where the Rockets and the Cavs come in, and they're just, and then OKC as well, you know, so they're just eating up all the star big names, and the league's waiting on all these other players to come up for their teams.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see where we go going forward with the beloved Bull. And I'm really excited about seeing, you know, where the season takes us and in the future too. I think it's a really good time, and I think people should be positive. I still sense you're definitely in the camp of, hey, we should be tanking here. We should be making the trades to get worse. And, you know, you made the case.
That's the thing that I think part of the problem is I say tank is a joke. This team was never going to be tank. I like putting the tank gifts up there. I like saying tank with us. But this team was never tanking. It was developing, and they've just developed faster than they were supposed to. That doesn't change the fact that you still make the trades that you were going to make, because we're six games in the hole. We got a better chance of getting a better lottery pick than we do of making the playoffs, and if you can get extra picks, you do it. And like we covered through this whole thing, do not give any assets away. I'm not saying give handouts to lose. That is far from what I want. But if the offers are there to recycle and plan for the future like we thought we were going to be doing coming into the season, you got to stick to the plan and go through with it.
Yeah. All right, my man. Well, let's wrap it up. What's your prediction, I'd say, for you think it's going to happen with Nico? It's got to happen soon, right? I think the trade deadline is February, first or second week of February. They moved it up this year. Do you think
February 8th.
Let's hear your prediction. By next time we record, Nico will be here or Nico will not be here?
I would like to see Nico gone by the 20th for the Hawks game. So I hope he's gone. I hope that they just weren't blowing smoke. But I also feel that the Bulls may hold out. So I'll go. He will not be here by the 20th for the Hawks game. And I'll leave it at that. I am slightly indecisive, but I'll go with he will not be here by the 20th for the Hawks game.
All right, I'm going to say he will be. I think they're going to hold out for a number one pick. I don't think there's any teams out there willing to give up a one for Nico yet. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
That's why I was rooting for Detroit to get spanked by the Hornets in that fourth quarter. I want Stan Van Gundy to get real desperate over there with his injuries and see his team falling out of the playoff picture and the big red bus coming like last year to kick him out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing better than watching Stan Van Gundy and his team of idiots lose. I can't stand the Pistons. I'll always hate that team. And he's been the most overrated GM. I think he's a good coach, but he's probably the worst GM in the league by far.
He was so indecisive over the offseason. It was, all right, we're trading our pick for a veteran. Wait, no, we're keeping our pick. We're going to trade DeAndre Drummond, Reggie Jackson. They're all on the block. Call us with what you got, okay? We got nothing, so we're taking our draft pick, and we're staying where we are. Oh, wait, Boston will give us Avery Bradley? That's a step up. And then they took off during the season, and now they're coming back down again.
They're all nobody's going to give him anything for Drummond. That contract's one of the worst in the league. Jackson's one of the worst in the league. The whole team is a complete disaster, and I hope they lose every game from here out till the end of the year. So we'll see what happens. Nothing but negative vibes all towards Detroit and their pathetic franchise. So, all right, my man. Hey, great talking to you again. Always fun talking beloved Bull. Looking to have you on again next week. You're the best, Keith. Thanks a lot, man.
Yep, talk to you next weekend.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Go Bulls.